The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain where they could be alone by themselves. There in their presence he was transfigured. His clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than any earthly bleacher could make them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter spoke to Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "it is wonderful for us to be here. So let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. And a cloud came, covering them in shadow. And there came a voice from the cloud, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Then suddenly, when they looked round, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they came down the mountain, he warned them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They observed the warning faithfully, though among themselves they discussed what rising from the dead could mean. The Gospel of the Lord. Advertising the great British countryside on television, the plane or the helicopter swoops over the hills and the dales and the mountains of Great Britain. It's a different view from above. But of course, until aircraft was invented, all the centuries before that, the highest viewpoint that anyone got was from the mountaintop. And mountains were great places for offering a wider view of the surrounding countryside, wider view of everything, which is an invitation for our minds to take on a wider perspective on everyday preoccupations. Because in the scriptures, mountains always represent a meeting with God. So there's a divine encounter there. Moses goes up the mountain. He's there 40 days. When he comes down, his face is so glowing that to put a veil on his face. Moses had met with God. Abraham, when he was tested to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, which is in Jerusalem today, where the temple was, where the Dome of the Rock stands now. Noah's Ark, when all that flood had flooded the rest of the world, comes to rest on Mount Ararat. Elijah goes up Mount Horeb to test the prophets of Baal. And so Jesus goes up Mount Tabor or Hermon with the inner three, Peter, James and John. You're already learning that Mark's gospel very cleverly constructed to guide you through whoever this person is that Mark's getting you to. Right in the middle of his gospel comes the story we've just heard. A whole chunk of it is the passion, the end bit, quite a chunk of Mark, the beginning bit, this there in the center. And it's saying, you need to grasp this, which is why we always get it on the second Sunday of Lent. Whether it's Mark or Matthew or Luke, we always get the transfiguration. Because Jesus has just made his prediction of rejection, death, and rising. And the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, would need this witness because in their weakest moments, at the bottom of a mountain, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, they were the three to be with the Lord on that night of agony. And so they had that glimpse of glory. It's a glimpse of the future power and glory of the kingdom, a day of blessing. Oh, raise your eyes and see, there stands our glorious Lord. But Peter, not understanding how Jesus could be the suffering servant of God, wanted the wonderful experience that they were having to last. And of course, we all like that. So if we were up there today, you'd all be there with your mobiles and capturing on cameras so that we capture the moment. And there is a sense in which, yes, a photo does capture a moment, but nothing recreates the actually, as it was. You can look at it, you can reflect back on it, it could be there, but nothing is quite the same. But of course, we would look at that photo, and they were meant to, as it were, in their minds, capture all that because of what was coming. And that's when the cloud comes over them. It said they were frightened. The cloud, always that overshadowing of the Lord himself with his people, a sign of the presence and action of God's power. But Peter wants to capture the moment, but like all of us, reality bites. They have to come down from the mountain. We can't live on the mountaintop, no more than we can live in the slough of despond, in the depths of despair. Most of the life is on the level, on the plain. When you reflect, the stations of the cross that are there reminding us always that this is the way the Christian is always walking through life. If you look at them all, they're all level. They're on the level. They're not down in the depths. They're not up on high. The Lord is up on high. But they, where we're walking, are on the level. But we need that glimpse. I'm ever bringing to this building, but now you see there's so much here. Because you see, we look up and it said, raise your eyes on high. There stands the risen Lord, but it's the Lord, of course, through. And it's to lift us up. But the stations are in the humdrum of life. And that is actually life like that. It's where we are most of the time. You're not on the mountaintop, you can't live there, and you're not in that despair. You're on the level, you're walking along. But walking along, listening to the Lord. Because that's what the voice said from God. This is my son, the beloved, listen to him. He affirmed Jesus at the baptism, this is my son, the beloved. Now he says, listen to what is saying. Because as you go back to the plain, you need to go forward with that. So that blessing they were to take with them, just like Abraham. Abraham received a great blessing from God, which was his son Isaac. And then suddenly he has this feeling that he's got to sacrifice. God's testing him and he's saying to him, can you do this? Is your faith so strong? And Abraham's was, but he didn't in the end have to slay his son. He's tested in his faith. And the Lord knows that's exactly what's going to happen to Peter, James, and John. He knows exactly it's what's going to happen to all of us. It is that testing. And so we need that glimpse of glory, just like the sun. I mean, they see the sun streaming in. And of course, if it was like it every day, always, we might like it a bit more than it is, but if it was like it all the time. I always remember meeting a man once and he said they'd had no rain in where he was living for 9 years. We can't take that in. 9 days would be good with that sometimes. But I think you get what I'm saying. The sunshine, we need that, but if it was there all the time, we need that spurring us on, encouraging us through that testing. Because like Abraham of old, we're all to be tested. We always are. They were to go through Jesus, as we will in a few weeks' time, through the night of agony in the garden, through the suffering of the cross, through the emptiness of Holy Saturday, until we burst into the vigil and the glory of Easter. But there's no crown without the cross. And again, our church represents it. You can't get to the window as a saint without the cross. We need to do that. There's no crown without the cross. There's no new life without the dying of the old. Or the bread is blessed and broken. Abraham received his blessing. The disciples, the apostles, received their blessing and then broken as we're tested. But as we're tested, we're listening to the Lord. And it's there to encourage us through this Lenten journey, because the Lenten journey is drawing us nearer to our glimpse of eternal glory, God Himself.